Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the truth. We thank you for truth. We ask tonight that the truth of your Word would sanctify our lives and that it would be the truth that, causes us to grow up in you, to know these things. And let's ask your Spirit to teach us tonight. In this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Judges chapter 11, we left off last week, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 at Mizpah, reminding you that it was, by the Holy Spirit to get us to the place to watching and praying. Luke 21:36, you can just put that from last week into this week in your notes to watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that must come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's the rapture. Right, when you read Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, John sees a door open in heaven, hears a voice come up here, and then you have the scene in heaven of who Jesus Christ is, and then the worship that's there, standing before the Son of Man. So, I believe that's a great place for us to be at with Mizpah, while all the trouble is going on in the world, and we're being grieved by how things are getting here on the earth. So I don't know if you're grieved. If you're liking all this, we need to talk, do some good Holy Spirit talk about this. But a couple things that come up tonight is that whole thing of watching and praying. Mizpah means watchtower, but it was they had gathered together to watch and pray. This is about being ready. Okay. For the Israelites in that day, Book of Judges, the enemy was gathered together against them, and they were gathered together to watch and pray, being made ready. Now, by the Holy Spirit, this is an important thing, and I got to look it up. This phrase, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Right? The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Does anybody know where that's at? See, John 14, 15, 16, the Comforter, peace, these things I've spoken, love me. I got this during worship, and I didn't look it up in my little break time. I was too busy worshiping to we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I didn't look up the verse, but if somebody can grab that verse, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Let's see, 14, 20.
14, 26. Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Great verse, but not the one I'm thinking of. There it is. Is that it? No? Ooh. John 16:13. Ooh, found it. Before the internet, where you would get excited to find a verse. Now people just ask Rabbi Google. But what are you going to do when Rabbi Google doesn't know the answer? Or he returns an AI answer that's just not right? You do know that, right? Keep your paper copies of your Bibles. Study them. Write your notes in there. Right? Study, highlight, cross-reference. Again, Thompson Chain cross-reference. Been using it for years. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Okay. Now, back to Judges 11. I'm ready to escape all this trouble. Isn't that what watching and praying is about? But get this. The war is not over. Okay, so things the Holy Spirit has been showing me of things to come is to trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Psalm 37:3. Immovable, not moved away from his word, trusting God, feed upon his word. Okay? That truth will set you free. Okay? So Jesus said this to the Jews who believed on him, abide in my word. You're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Church of Philadelphia, right? I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, for you have little strength, little dunamis. I think it's not a statement of little strength, but I think it might be a statement of dunamis, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Will God use a small church? Now, size is never mentioned in the scriptures. But there's something, once again, wonderful that the Holy Spirit wants to do with the truth tonight as he leads us and guides us into all truth and teaches us. And he wants to show you things to come. Every place in the Bible. Okay? Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust him out. Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Now, at first glance, reading through this, I didn't catch it until praying, studying. And Holy Spirit repeats Jephthah by name over and over. Does not use pronouns very often. Now, I believe that this part of us watching and praying, camped together at Mizpah. Mizpah is the place where Laban catches up with Jacob when he stole away with wives and children and flocks, and that's where he caught up with them. But the Lord had met with Laban the day before, and you don't say anything good or evil. Basically, leave Jacob alone, he's mine. And as he comes, and the whole thing that they end up setting up a place called Heap of Witness, of which Laban's got a word for that in his tongue, and then it was called Galeed by Jacob and Mizpah. Because what they said next was, the Lord be a witness between us. Now, that's not the same Mizpah that we are reading here in Judges 11. That's Mizpah up north. For those of you who went to the River Jabbok, and you know, we had to take the bus off-roading on that trip, and you know, lug the musical instruments up the side of the hill, and overlook the River Jabbok, where Jacob would have wrestled with God. Pretty cool place. Now, why describe this Mizpah by same name? But this Mizpah is, it's going to now be a prominent place of gathering back together for the children of Israel, and means watchtower. Now, we come to this place, they're gathered together in Mizpah, and 18 says that the people of Gilead and the princes said to one another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over the inhabitants of Gilead. In one sense, this world is crying out for someone. Now, we understand biblically, Holy Spirit, prophecy, things to come. There is an Antichrist coming. But that Antichrist will not be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. And again, as we've studied this, and I'm reminding you that perilous times are here. You call it the squeeze. I say the squeeze is on. Again, it's an understanding of a biblical word that when things narrow, okay? The squeeze is on. If you don't know that, jobs are going to disappear, right? Or jobs are going to lose hours, okay? You're going to start to see things squeezed. I don't think that's anything that I think we can all see that. So Book of Judges was written, I believe, for us as Christians to learn not to live like the world around us. Okay? And just taking that to heart, some of these things that rise to the forefront is what I've described, a church that is saved. Again, we've taken a renewed interest to make certain that as we meet other people who say they go to church, as we're out living our lives and sharing the gospel, to step in one step further to find out if they are born of God. Okay? Now, that's Holy Spirit showing us that, to press into that. And then the other part of that is we've been studying sanctification. Again, if you think about 1 Corinthians 5, 6, 7, again, we'll get into this more, what we're studying on Sunday. And so you have saved and sanctified. And as I put these thoughts together for you, again, Judges chapter 11, the people of Ammon have gathered together at the rocky place of Gilead, and Israel has assembled themselves together and encamped at Watchtower, and they are looking for a deliverer. Now, here's a category of judges that are deliverers. You have Gideon, who's a deliverer. You have Jephthah, who's a deliverer. And you have Samuel, who's a deliverer. Okay? Now, why I describe it in that way, again, if you start to hear what the Holy Spirit put into this, so you understand, Jephthah is described as a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of army. Again, this description is he has strength. And so if I would be bold enough to put this together with, I say saved and sanctified, but I would say saved and strong, or saved and strengthened. So to be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man. Anybody know where that's at? Strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man. Now, just putting these, find your way to Ephesians 6:10. As we put on the armor of God, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, that you might be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man, you said Ephesians 3. Is that where you were at there, Elijah?
Yeah.
That he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to his mighty working of his mighty power? Wow. And don't take for a moment here to apply this power as to something that you can just have for yourself to do whatever you want to do. But I believe that the Holy Spirit has this for us tonight as we study Jephthah. We study Judges 11, we read, and the description here that he is a mighty man of valor. He's strong. Okay? One thing's missing in the world, an abundance of strong men. Plain and simple. In fact, the way Jesus is presented, he's pretty much presented as some sissy boy, right? In almost every sector. He wouldn't hurt a flea. I'm recounting how he comes back riding on a white horse. Sword. Name, right? Comes back riding as a victorious king. And, even this, the power of a life laid down, the strength to... Right, not call down the legion of angels, but to endure the cross. Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, son of a harlot. Now here's where I want to enter into us a study that in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Now, equivalent for many pastors pastoring in Calvary Chapel, that's their description right there. right? Broken lives. Verse 2, Gilead's wife bare him legitimate sons, if you catch that. His wife's son grew up. The word there for grew also is magnified or strengthened. And they thrust out Jephthah. He's the son of the woman who's unloved. He's unloved. Okay? Now you're starting to... Do I have your attention, men, about becoming strong men no matter what your upbringing was? Okay? Now Jephthah is a mighty man. I think he's the firstborn. His name can mean he opens. So I think he's, if you now get Gilead, probably his firstborn son was the son of a harlot. And then he got married and then has other children. And when they get strong enough, they put Jephthah out. And with that phrase, thou shalt not inherit our father's house. So under the law, when a man could have two wives, and if one was unloved and the firstborn son was from the unloved woman, under the law, he couldn't withhold the firstborn inheritance of a double portion under the law. And I think it's important for us to see that they wanted to put him out, and they did put him out because he's the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled his brethren, verse 3, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And like David, even though we, you know, in this part of the Bible, he precedes David, but when David went down to dwell in the cave, you remember who gathered to him? All the men that were in debt, in distress. There's another D, I don't remember what it is. David knows. David does not know all of David things. But I get the same sort of context here for Jephthah. And believe it or not, I think this is many times overlooked as the actual character study, if you will, or in the context of we need to learn not to live like the people around us. And Jephthah, again, as his name, he opens, but that word for open, of which is the root word of Jephthah, also can be understood to mean whom God sets free. Or looses, opens, sets free. Think of specific of the Messiah to open blind eyes. Okay? How he would open up the ears of the deaf and loose the tongue. Okay, so this whom God sets free. Now, I don't know if any of you caught this. I don't actually plan ahead. You might think that I do, but we had the title on Sunday's teaching, Disciples Indeed. And I come on Wednesday morning and open up Wisdom for Today, and it's entitled Free Indeed. It's John 8, 31 and 32, the same ones which I started with tonight. And I looked at Jephthah's name, whom God sets free. Now, 22 times his name is mentioned in the Hebrew in the context of how it comes into the way that it's in our English Bible. And I don't know if you catch it already in verse 2, they thrust out Jephthah, right? He's named by name. Then Jephthah. It's not this he. And his name is mentioned almost every verse through the first 15 verses. And one of the things I think that is to be understood here is that he is one of those characters in the Bible who became a mighty man because he's been set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Right? You're my disciples indeed. And so I just riding over tonight with my wife said, tonight's another discipleship night. Right? So we looked at on Sunday, and again, just being discipled in that time from the pulpit to follow Jesus in a particular way. And I believe this is tonight, as we watch and pray, Mizpah, right? As all this is going on in the world, we're assembled together, we gather together, we're praying and we're watching, and I remind you, if you will, we're at war. Okay, so that's why the Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's Jephthah. I've been set free and I'm to be strengthened. See, when you're a baby Christian, you just want to know one thing. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. John writes that in his letter. I write to you, little children, because you're saved. Your names are written in heaven. And then he writes to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And that's that strengthening part. So this part tonight that I'm going to receive here, whom God sets free, he strengthens. Okay? So a clear reference to what have you been set free from? If you really catch the sanctification of Sunday's Bible study was, I've been set free from sin. Some of you were, past tense. Now that I'm free, and this place, Jephthah, these vain men gathered a Jephthah and went out with him. I'll just say this, they don't stay vain men. They don't stay worthless men. David's men did not stay worthless men. They became David's mighty men. Now, to me, the real effective part, if we hear this tonight, whom God sets free, they are free indeed. Right? Again, just that decision, I am free from sin. I am free. And just again, that understanding of salvation. I'm his disciple. Okay? I'm free from the bondage that I used to be in. I had to sin because I was a slave to it. Now the Holy Spirit, liberty, absolutely free. And what do you do with that? Well, I'll tell you what Jephthah does with it. He makes war. Because the enemy is attacking. Ephesians 6:10. Why that power and that might? Because we're at war. Spiritual armor. Putting the armor on. If you don't agree with me, I will look at verses 4 and 5. Then you can agree with the Bible. Came to pass in the process of time, or kind of like we'd say after this, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so when the children of Ammon made war against Israel. Then the elders go and fetch Jephthah. They go and fetch whom God sets free. Great name for a deliverer, isn't it? Now, Holy Spirit showing you things to come. Right? Again, even as we plan, we prepare, and praying and trusting in the Lord and holding fast his word. Let's talk a bit tonight about the spiritual warfare. I think the context is ripe, if you will, watching and praying. 2 Corinthians 10 is where I want you to take a look. And I thought about this today. If the spiritual trouble goes on, would anybody reach out to you? Okay? When something goes down, will they reach out to you? I'll answer that and I'll say yes. Right? I will have people reach out to me. Okay? Whom God sets free, right? And then that strengthening part. So war. Ammon made war against Israel. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So what's that imply? We do war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, back to that, what John says, 1 John 2, where he says not to love the world, and he says, you've heard many antichrists are coming, and he writes that letter, my little children. He writes it again, and then it applies for the baby Christian, for the one who's the teenager and the one who is mature. And what I'm trying to do with us this year is get us to maturity. Okay, take this group that gathers together and let us go on to perfection. Let us be mature. Let us be ones who can teach others also. Right? In John's letter, he says, you've been with him from the beginning. It's a description of having now spent all that time, seen all these things, and you know the Lord, and you know what His will is, and you know what is to be done, and you can instruct, you can teach, you can disciple, you can do that. And so I'm looking at this from this perspective as what I believe the Holy Spirit led us into, that we're His disciples indeed, we've been set free, and we are to learn to follow Him, and we're to grow in Him, we're to be like Him, and that working of the Holy Spirit, but with the context that war has come upon us, spiritual war. And you'll even notice in Judges 11, verses 4 and 5, Ammon made war against Israel. If you sit and do nothing as a Christian, the war is coming for you. The spiritual battle is coming for you. And in every way, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, this is a maturity thing. 2 Corinthians 10, 4, 5, and 6 is a maturity thing. It's growing. Baby Christians aren't even concerned about this. And the young, because they have some strength, think they know it all already. Now, I don't know how old Jephthah is, but I find him, again, I think it's in the context, I find him probably the firstborn, and then when his wife has all those kids and the brothers grow up and get strong enough, then they put him out. He only rules Israel. He delivers them and then rules for 6 years. I think he's old. Now, why I say it in this context is Paul writing this letter, and Paul is one to instruct. And again, what he said to the Corinthians, and he describes this. And to me, this spiritual warfare, casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, or do you have to look up everything? Okay. Now, belt of truth. Right? That's the first piece of the armor. Where's the truth? It's in your face, right? Tim knew to wear the shirt. I don't know how you knew to wear the shirt. Right? There you go, man. Because the belt of truth. And then sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This truth shall set you free as a disciple in Jesus Christ. You understand the internet is now completely set up to return whatever narrative is ready to be shared. Every search engine that, I shouldn't say every, most search engines are returning an AI answer first when you search for something. Okay? Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Could there be a church that's known as Jephthah? He opens an open door. Now, just not going to over-spiritualize that, but is there a church that He has opened up unto us the truth? I wish it was all who would pore over the scriptures and watching and praying and then those prayer meetings, that prayer closet you have. Fathers, for your families, okay? In casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Now, what am I watching going on in the world? I'm watching the world's ways come pouring into the church and systematically, right, taking verse 5 out of most Christians' maturity. This taking thoughts captive. And look at 6. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Now, if you would take watch and pray, counted worthy to escape the things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, watching and praying. And the other part is, as we're watching and praying and as distress and trouble come into the world, they're going to be looking for a Jephthah. One who is strong and mighty in the spiritual warfare, who knows the truth and knows what these things are and has answer and has hope and has eternal life. We have the gospel. Now, why I describe it in this context is this spiritual warfare is the real thing. And before I just spend all night on that, it sort of comes into this. The children of Ammon made war. I don't know how you look at 2019 heading into 2020. That was very organized warfare. Very organized. I remember everything getting shut down in Fargo, and we had no cases of COVID anywhere in the county, and yet we were shutting down businesses. Now, it doesn't take much to figure out that war came, spiritual war. And again, I'm not going back just to camp on that, but if we don't learn from that and then find out, again, we're watching and waiting, right? Can be caught up at any moment to be with the Lord. But while we're watching and waiting, something is very important to tonight's study is, as we're ready and we're praying, ready to escape all this trouble, we're at war. Meaning that there still is a salvation. I believe that that is to come to those here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here anymore. We'd already be on to what the Lord needs to work in the world. We're still here. It's still daylight. There's a harvest, if you will. And why I describe that, again, all these prayers we're praying and we're going out, and so we're watching and praying. So it's the war as we watch and wait, which is an interesting way to see that's exactly what a man like Jephthah, who has been set free and he is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Now, they could only find one. They could only find a Jephthah. I mean, but maybe we are to see that in Christ Jesus, we should have many strong men and women. Okay? And I'll specifically strong men. Why? Well, Proverbs 24, 5, 6, 7. A wise man is strong, yes. A man of knowledge increases strength. With wise counsel you shall wage war. Your own war, what's 7? Thought I had it all. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Now, the warfare, spiritual warfare, the wisdom with which to operate in it. He whom God sets free may be free or is free. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're born again, you're free. Okay? Now my part here is to keep you free. Right? Don't go back to the sin. Don't go back to the bondage. Once you got free, don't go back. And again, just that shepherd, pastor heart to like watch over, keep, tend the flock, be in Jesus, be strengthened, be discipled, get in the Word of God. You grow by taking the Word of God and receive it into your heart, doing what it says, and by the grace and knowledge of Jesus, you grow up. You become stronger. You become mature. You know how to answer. You know what the Scriptures say. You have an experience against that. And when the enemy comes, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. Now, I'm not a demon chaser with a demon around every tree, rock. I don't live that way. Okay, so what I'm talking about here is the very real, tangible warfare for souls. I'm watching the same things you're watching. We do not have truth in the world. So who is going to have truth? Who's going to know the truth? The disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, let's get through this a bit. Verse 6, they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress? Distress? Squeezed. It's the same understanding that you have of the pressure or the trouble that's used in the New Testament. In this world you will have that trouble, that tribulation. It's the squeezing. Okay? Yes, it could be that there will be those who come to us when they're in trouble. So I'm preparing for that. I'm watching and praying and warring that when people come in, they're going to need to be taught the Word of God. They're going to need to be saved when we go out. Okay? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, verse 8, therefore we turn again unto thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and behead over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. Now, first thing is I describe him as he whom God sets free. It's opened unto him. He's strengthened. He knows the Lord. Okay? Very important thing. If you really want to, you get to that place of a baby Christian and then teenage Christian and then adult Christian. If I can just simplify what John wrote, the little children, young men, and then fathers and, again, mothers. And I've been using this to stir us up onto you should be mature. Even if you got saved at age 8 and you have 12 years in the Lord and you're 20, that should be mature. That, again, if you got saved at age 40 and you're 41, you have 1 year in the Lord, you're not going to be mature. And why I describe it that is, so it's not the physical age as much as it is that time in the Lord. And he basically is saying, you hated me, you put me away, and now when you're in trouble, you want me, and you say you're going to make me head over you, and you want me to rule over you. And he just said, if you bring me home, again, he's asked, shall I be your head? Is that really your intention? You want me to rule over you. Before you hated me, now you want this. The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words. So Mizpah is also Gilead, heap of witness. It's ironic to me at the same name, right? Gilead, that also is a rocky place. The idea of the heap of witness was the stones were rolled together and piled up. And here, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words. Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. Again, chief, he's a commander of the army. You start to hear that phrase. When Joshua meets the commander of the Lord's army, he's told to take his shoes off. He's in a holy place. I think you catch the reference here of one whom God has set free. He has become your head, right? Again, there's a type of Christ in Jephthah, okay? One who was rejected the first time. Hey, you catch this? Do you remember how they questioned Jesus' birth? Right? Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land? Israel's still dealing with this. Whose land is it? And the king of the children of Ammon answered and said unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon even to Jabbok and unto Jordan, now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. Interesting. Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of children of Ammon and said unto him, thus said Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab nor the land of the children of Ammon. What's a Palestinian? You watching this thing going on in the world once again? Okay. A Palestinian is not a people group. They're Arabs as far as people. The place called Palestine was the term that the Romans who destroyed Israel, destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, 70 AD, in order to wipe Israel off the map forever, they renamed the area Palestine, a conjunction from Philistines. In fact, Jews were known as Palestinians because they lived in that part of the world. But it's a whole renaming thing. Now, who knows the truth? Well, Jephthah knows the truth. Okay? Israel took not away the land of Moab. Okay. Now back to that Proverb 24:5. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Do you know history? Do you understand? Do you know what these things are? Now, I describe it in that context. Jephthah does know. And here's the history lesson. When Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom and said, "Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land." But the king of Edom would not hearken thereunto. And in like manner they sent out to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab and came by the east side of the land of Moab and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was at the border of Moab. Saying what? They went the long way around. They never passed through the Edomite or Moabite territory. Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto him, "Let us pass, we pray thee, through the land to my place." But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast, but Sihon gathered all his people together, pitched in Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And look at 21. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them, so Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites from Arnon even to Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldst thou possess it? He's saying, it's not your land. God gave it to us. I love 24. Wilt not thou possess what Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? What has your God done? Okay, and it's good for us, right? Okay. Not soft, weak, effeminate men who, "Well, excuse me, I think I don't like your answer." Or you have the truth and you can boldly stand up and withstand the wicked one, withstand the lies. When you stand up boldly and declare the truth, you will be hated. You will be withstood. You will be fought against. You will be shot at. So I expect some scars from men who can stand. Wilt thou not possess what Chemosh can give you? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them we will possess. Are you better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Or did he ever fight against them? Well, he tried, but he died. That's what I put there. Right? Hired Balaam. Balak hired Balaam, the false, bizarre character. Counseled him to get him into idolatry and sexual immorality, get God to judge them. But when they go to war later on against Moab, Balaam is killed. Balak amounts to nothing. While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns and Ar, and their cities that all belonged by the coast of Arnon 300 years, why therefore did you not recover them within that time? You're a little late to be disputing. The truth is, these weren't your lands. They belong to the Amorites. We dispossess the Amorites. We now dwell in the land. It's not your land. That's the truth. Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, verse 27, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. Now, I just simply say this. We watched firsthand the last 5 years, and again, there's more troubles preparing. And I'm just going to encourage us as the church to stand upon the truth. One of the worst things you can do is agree quickly with whatever is suggested for you to do. Okay? One of the worst things you can do is just do something that's suggested to you. Oh, it's your land. Oh, you have the answers. Okay? You'll be lied to. So they're lying to Israel to get the land from them. I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah which he sent him. Now, conflict avoidance, strong men, or will you withstand the enemy? Right? Are you ready, watching and waiting and warring for the truth? The spiritual battle for the Bible. The Bible's true. The correct, I mean, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one, and they're being prepared for a counterfeit Christ. The only way you can get a counterfeit Christ is you have to remove the truth. Because the truth easily would detect, oh, look, he does not line up. Okay? So all of it, I'm not surprised about what's happening in the world. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah which he sent him. I like verse 29. Spirit of the Lord came upon him, came upon Jephthah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him whom God has set free. Did you like that? 22 times in chapter 11. Him whom God has set free. Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he passed over Gilead, Manasseh and Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. Now, I like this too. In terms of when you're under attack, it would be called closing the gap. Someone thinks they're going to get you by surprise and you close the gap. They're attacking you, but you're the one really, you get there before they're ready to attack you because you're ready. Watching and praying, battle ready. You know, battle ready, spiritual battle ready. Armor on, right? Truth, righteousness, salvation, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, the heavy artillery of prayer, if I can use that one, praying for all the saints at all times, helmet of salvation, again, the knowledge, right? Wisdom, increasing strength, knowing what these things are, wielding the armor. 29, spirit-filled, right? Spirit-filled. The power of the Lord, right? So the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Again, this is that power to be witnesses unto Jesus from Acts 1:8 that I'm referencing in my mind. He passes over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever comes forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So we talk about being filled with the Spirit, and part of our preparation for the Omaha conference, again, to me it's a necessity. We're going to go hear how to walk in the Spirit. Okay? To walk in Christ Jesus, right? To walk in the Spirit. And very important, because what I see here with Jephthah, and again, you read ahead, if you look at this, he's vowing a vow that violates God's law. If indeed what comes out of his house is a person, you never offered a person as a burnt sacrifice. And I don't know if he's not thinking that. Is he thinking like the dog or the cat's going to come out to meet him first? And they're not clean animals either. I mean, so I'm not sure what he's thinking other than here's what I know. And again, I would instruct us now. God's not interested in sacrifices as much as he is interested in our obedience. He'll take care of all that. So even a spirit-filled Christian can be snared by that thought, oh, I'm making this sacrifice for you, God. Okay. Now, Jephthah passed over, verse 32, unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. Again, the words for fight, they're battling, they're warring. So when you read that, we are in a fight, right? We have an enemy. He's assembled in many ways, affecting those in this world. Passover to fight against them, the Lord delivered them into his hands. Again, I think a great reference there of salvation, of deliverance. He smote them from Aroer and until they came unto Minnith. 20 cities of the plain of the vineyards, a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him, singing and dancing, timbrels and with dances. She was his only child. He had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." Now, this last section, to me, cries out for Jesus, right? The redemption that is truly in Jesus Christ. The price that's already been paid. And why I describe it in that way is Jephthah is a great example of a deliverer, but he's not a redeemer. He had no power to buy anybody back. Now, in having opened his mouth unto the Lord, cannot go back. And she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee on thine enemies, even unto the children of Ammon." And she asked her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months. I may go up and down the mountains, bewail my virginity, and I and my fellows." And he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions, bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which she had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Now, if you just do a who's Jephthah, and you end up with pretty much this last part of his story, what he was known for at the end. Oh, so reading through Ezekiel, and again, his days of judgment carried away. And again, we can learn a lot from those days of judgment, and because I think that's the days we're heading into. They're days of judgment. Now, we're not appointed unto God's wrath. We'll be snatched away. But this world's under judgment. And when I describe this from this point forward, I don't know if Jephthah dies from a broken heart or not. He only rules 6 years. Is he really old, or is this like, I don't know if this undoes his life. But I go back to this place of what I would now describe to us. Let's finish well. Right? Let's finish well. You've begun, he who's begun a good work in you, faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Again, I think that's a very good thing as you're growing in the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, the truth. You do not need to rehearse what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you what to say in those places that you're to give an answer. What do I learn from Jephthah? He didn't need to secure the Holy Spirit with a vow. Now, he did take a vow. But he didn't need to secure that. Likewise for us, I think this is a thing to learn of maturity. How would I categorize Jephthah? I would say Jephthah, growing in the grace and knowledge, the wisdom, gaining knowledge, has a knowledge of the history of Israel and understands it perfectly. But I don't see in him that he held close to the Word of God in his personal life. Now, he knows the part about making a vow and not breaking it. That's in the book of Numbers. But I go back to this now, and I want to wrap up again for us with John 8, 31 and 32. And I want you to turn there this time, because almost always this is the part that's overlooked. There's a phrase in here. That I labor in every day of my life. I labor in the Word of God in prayer every day of my life. I don't take a day off. I said yes and answered the call to pastor when I was just young in the Lord, right? Had some strength, but it was not mature. I've described it lately in talking to another man who left a church where there was a pastor who was, again, the pastor's a strong man, righteous, and can withstand evil. And he went to go with a start-up church where the guy is just learning how to pastor. And I said to him, you left. You should not have left. Is there anything you can do to get back there? Because that could deliver you and your trouble right now. Now, I talk to him like that. He'll probably never talk to me ever again. Or he'll listen to me and he'll talk to me again. But there's this phrase in 8:31 and 32, not the first part where it says, so beginning with the words in red, 8:31, if ye continue in my word, right there. Again, some versions say, if you abide in my word. You hear that word? Abide, continue, remain. Now, I'll be very honest with you. If you're spending more time, right, more time, internet, news, social media, the message of this world, you're already setting yourself at a disadvantage to abide in and to continue in his word. This, for me, is me now getting to speak to you not as just a young man with some strength in the Lord, but I'm going to be as bold to say to you that this now is me being able to instruct you, and I have the years of having grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And again, I'll say this, with meekness of wisdom, I would say this to you, the Word of God. Feed upon it. Now, I've been reading the scriptures twice as much the last 3 years because I was exhorted and encouraged by someone who was doing better than me. And it wasn't like me, well, I'll never get to be like that. It was like, if he can do that, I can do that. But I decided very clearly, this is through the Bible twice in a year devotionally. Meaning all that time of reading is me interacting with God prayerfully over what he's saying. That I might be able to be up here and earn the right to speak what the Holy Spirit says to us. And why I say it in this context, if you abide, if you continue in my word, Jesus says, right? If you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you Jephthah. Isn't that what it is? Now, I see no reason why everyone who comes to church here and applies themselves, they're again saved, right? And then strengthened, okay? You know, or saved and set free. Again, if you can apply it that way, sanctified and strengthened. And then there's that serving and surrender. Not surrendering another's life who comes out of your house in a sacrificial way. Oh, I'd sacrifice my family, or I'd sacrifice one of my children. Not that mindset. But the end of that thing, again, if you just catch the letter S in an alliteration format, not in a cutesy, clever way, but in very real way, to be strengthened, right? So this part of continuing in the word, to abide in Christ, to be his disciples, to be strengthened, right? So saved and set free, sanctified, set apart, strengthened to serve and surrender. Now, What you'd love to be able to do in one weekend at a men's retreat, you can never get done in one weekend. Because you can't get that all to happen in 1 week, in 2 days. Likewise, women, you can't get that all done in 2 days. So what we're doing is, again, growing in that grace and knowledge of Jesus as we study the Word and apply the truth and be in the Word and listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll show you things to come, even in reference to what is coming and the rapture of the church and the coming trouble that the world's going to be into, the wrath of God. We're not going to be here for that 7-year tribulation period. And the world's preparing for it. We know the truth. And again, trouble's already in the world. Perilous times are already here. I keep watching the news, death after death after death. There's no break. Violence touches violence. Now, why I describe that is we should be clearly awakened, and we should be out of darkness and in the light, putting on the armor of light. That's part of the weapons of our warfare, being set free from sin, if that's you, right? And you can say, he whom God has set free. Whatever your sin was, that was 1 Corinthians 6 on Sunday. That was 1 Corinthians 6. Some of you were. And that whole list of sins that those who do not inherit the kingdom of God, that's what they do. But you, who have inherited the kingdom of God, those things should no longer be named among you as is fitting for saints. And my word to you is, let's walk this together in the light. Let's get in the Word. Let's be strengthened so that when your neighbor comes to you, your coworker comes to you, someone on the street comes to you, where do you go to church? With Jesus. Let me talk to you about him. You find out where they go to church, and are you born of God? What's your church experience? Are you going to heaven? I mean, we don't have a whole lot of time anymore. Now, this is not doom and gloom. In fact, what I'm sharing with you tonight is hope. That God would show you that you have the hope of Christ Jesus living in you. This whole world has gone mad over sin that they call something else. I full on expect that those who have been lied to, think of those who've either started the whole process to change their gender or have gotten partway in or all the way in, they're going to come to church and say, I need truth. I'm convinced when we were down in Mexico that the woman who looked too good was probably a man, Ernesto. You know what I mean? All fake. And why describe it that way? He is there pouring out with the pastor, help me, pastor. What do I do? Right? Pastor Jorge calls me over and says, will you pray with us? And again, that's in Spanish. I'm just picking up a part of this. And after, I'm like, that's what this is. Now, it's just one area. So, Heavenly Father, we ask tonight for the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, one you had set free, one his brothers hated him, didn't have a great home life. Lord, we understand that not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty after the flesh are called. So we're not looking for this after the flesh. We're looking for you to give us the Holy Spirit as we ask, and that your power of the Spirit would be upon us to be witnesses unto Jesus, and the witness that would stand between the lies and the truth, the witness that would stand between heaven and hell would be this testimony of Christ Jesus, this power to declare truth about sin, this power that will not back down, though, that we wouldn't be complicit with the lies of the enemy, but we would be bold and righteous and meek and full of wisdom, and that you would have us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, filled up words of grace seasoned with salt, that we know how to answer each one. Keep us from the sin of hatred. Fill us up with love and truth. Lord, that what a double sword. two-edged sword of your word, love and truth, to be able to pierce to the dividing asunder of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, help us not to judge in this spiritual warfare, to look after the outward appearance, but that we would see with eyes of compassion, mercy, forgiveness, love, and truth, and that we could preach Christ and salvation to this lost world. Lord, to a people like the Ammonites who worshiped Chemosh, they killed their babies, to a people that kill our babies. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to come upon us, and in all this distress, that you would cause us all to be the head and not the tail, and to rule over this and have answers of truth to those who send to us. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen.